Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to another episode, blah, 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 of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother, the vainglorious Matthew Henry, here in an emergency podcast so that Ben can make the Snelgroni. Stop posturing and tell me how you're doing, Matthew. I don't want to know how you're doing. I know how you're doing. Shut up.
Oh, I'm feeling good, Ben. Feeling good. Not only do the Giants sign Blake Snell, I get to watch you drink two Negronis.
Shut up. Now I might drink three Negronis.
Yeah, but that was your own doing last night. That wasn't prompted by me at all.
Well, you know, it was the Long Island iced tea was talking, and I was like, man. I'm just going to go crazy here.
Joey Bart gets traded. You're drinking three Negronis.
That's right. I'm drinking three Negronis if Joey Bart gets traded before opening day.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Like if he makes the 26 man by some fluke or whatever, I win. Okay. If he gets DFA'd, I win. But if Joey Bart gets traded to another team for a Negroni, or a, you know, half a bottle of Campari, then I lose.
Okay.
those are the rules on that one. But you know what, Matthew? This is what I wanted.
It is.
This
you
is
tempted
what
fate
I wanted.
For this reason, right?
I tempted fate for this reason. You know, but at the same time, I was doing my month of sweetness, and I had to go with what Farhan was doing. And, you know, Farhan doesn't talk to us, doesn't talk to me. It's probably the Fire Farhan neck tattoo, among many other reasons. but I didn't know. I didn't know what he was thinking. So he wasn't signing Snell. He got Chapman. So I was like, I guess that's what we're doing. So I had to toe the party line. I had to be a company man. I had to be a team player. You know, I had to be super positive and agree with every decision that the Giants made. But now my month of sweetness is over. Because now I have to drink a Negroni. And Negronis aren't sweet.
No.
So what are you drinking, Matthew?
So today I am drinking an old fashioned that I just doctored up with some high proof bourbon, about a quarter ounce of cherry hearing, another quarter ounce to maybe even half an ounce of Demerara gum syrup, a dash of Angostura and a dash of cherry bitters, a little orange oil expressed over it. And then I've got a lot of cherries on this pick. Man, because I was like, today's the day to celebrate. I splurged on the cherries, and I'm going to be enjoying every one of them as I watch you drink your bitter, bitter Negroni.
All right, I think we're burying the lead here. Like, I think we're assuming that all of our listeners know what the heck we're talking about. This is an emergency podcast because the Giants have signed, pending physical and official. Well, I guess they don't announce it from the team until after the physical is over. So pending physical, Blake Snell, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, the arguably the third best free agent on the market. Now the Giants, as a result of this, have acquired three of the top 10 free agents, by some estimations, that were available in this offseason. And got the starting pitcher that everybody said they needed to get, except me, because I'm a company man. And, you know, whatever Farhan did was right. And so ultimately, I agree. They needed to get Snell. And they did it. But now it's time for me to put up or shut up. And I know, listeners, you probably want me to do both. No, you don't, because otherwise you just wouldn't listen to the podcast. I mean, that's kind of how that works.
It would just be me, and nobody's here for just me.
Nobody's here just for you, just for you. All right, so no. Matthew, one of the rules that we said way back when was that we had to make it live, or at least on camera.
Right.
We didn't have to do it on the show itself, I guess, but that's what I'm doing.
That's right. We wanted to make sure that there was no shenanigans going on where you were substituting Aperol for Campari or something.
Right,
like that.
Right, exactly. Oh, man, that's a great idea. Why didn't I do that?
I had thought about it.
you're such a wimp. All right. Well, so, you know, in honor of happy hour. Oh, by the way, I've got the right mic working again today. But anyway, so I am adding, Matthew, ice that is dry on the surface to my mixing glass. And then, as we know, the Negroni is a perfect cocktail, which doesn't mean it's good, by the way. It means that all of the ingredients it has come in the same ratio, the same amount. So the base of the Negroni is 1 ounce of gin. So here we go, Matthew. Okay, so that's 1 ounce of gin. So the sweet vermouth that I have today is Cocchi Storico Vermouth di Torino. So I'm going to pour in 1 ounce of that. And that's how you make a Negroni. It's a perfect cocktail. It has 1 ounce of gin and it has 1 ounce of sweet vermouth. And you
not so fast. Not so fast. You're missing one ingredient.
I don't wanna. All right. Yes, 1 ounce of Campari. And then we stir to chill.
Give it a good stir. Maximum dilution.
Yeah.
You got your big rock.
Yeah.
Your clear sphere.
That's right. My clear sphere that is a single chunk because I'm not a baby. I'm taking my medicine.
Okay.
I'm not
slow melting ice cube. Look at you.
That's right. Slow melting ice cube. Strain that in. It would not be a Negroni without an orange peel. And we're going to express that over the glass.
All right, there it is. It's a lovely looking drink, man.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
I follow this cute little girl on Instagram that has this eating disorder called ARFID.
Yeah, the ARFID girl. Yeah,
and she has to, you know, try all these different foods, and she's such a brave little girl, and I love watching her videos. But you make the same face as she does when you eat something you don't like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what I like about that girl is that she's Gen Alpha, and she's just born of the age when like social media is just like natural to her. She just says like and subscribe, you know, like it's just a normal thing that you say. Like, I think that's probably what they say to each other at school.
Yeah.
Like in kindergarten on the playground, they'd be like, when they say goodbye, they'd be like and subscribe.
All right. But you know, you enjoy your Negroni because it's time to talk baseball. You said last night that you remembered where you were when Matt came through his perfect game, and when Yusmeiro Petit came within 1 out of throwing a perfect game. Do you remember where you were at when the Giants signed Blake Snell?
Yeah, I was at my dinner table, but I don't think, what? Are you equating the signing of Blake Snell in the spring of 2024, a week and a half before opening day, to Matt Cain's no-hitter? I mean, perfect game? Giants history? You're comparing these two things.
I guess I am, but just because I think it's funny. But, you know, Blake Snell, 2 years, $62 million. With, of course, an opt-out after this year. I ain't mad about that.
No. Me neither. I mean, we all knew that was coming. Like, if you were going to sign Snell, it was going to be a 1+1 kind of deal.
And even if he has a crappy next year, then you only got one more year that you got to deal with it. So I'm not mad that they only signed him for 2 years. I think this is a good contract.
This is a 2-year contract with an average $31 million per year, which is, I think, it's the rate he wanted. It's just way, way shorter than he was looking for.
By 8 years.
And here's the thing. I talked about this when I signed Chapman. The reason I don't mind these opt-out contracts for these two particular players is because they're not scrap heap guys. We're not gambling here, right? These are high quality players who are elite, right? Matt Chapman is an elite defender. Blake Snell was the best pitcher in the National League last year. This is way different than a Conforto or Haniger, which was a 2-year thing, but you know, or a Rodon who worked out well, right? This is not that kind of contract. This is way different. So these don't bother me, right? Like, I am totally and perfectly fine with these deals. And because the players are of much higher quality and they're much more proven than the guys that we used to give these kinds of contracts to. So these are not the same because the players are not the same. And for example, Matthew, I'm going to steal some of the research that you did.
Did it for us, man. Go hey, for
you,
it.
You stole Brett Wisely from me.
That's right.
Know,
I did.
We were talking about who guys were going to get cut.
I owe you.
And I'm going to steal some of your numbers here. Did you know, Matthew, that Blake Snell in 2023 led the majors with a 2.23 ERA and led the National League with a 6.0 BWAR? This guy was amazing and had an amazing year. And he is elite. I mean, technically, he's the best pitcher on the team now. Technically. Yeah.
Well, he has elite swing and miss stuff, right? He had 234 strikeouts in 180 innings last year. His whiff rate, which means how many swings resulted in a miss, was 37.4%, which was the second highest since the stat has started being kept in 2008. So when he pitches, guys swing and miss a lot. So that's the plus, right? I mean, he can strike you out. The negative is he doesn't know always where the ball is going, and lack of great command. He led the National League, actually led the majors last year with 99 walks. But what was interesting is I was doing the research while you were out buying your vermouth, is apparently the Padres were strategic with the way Blake Snell pitched, and that they were okay with Snell pitching around dangerous hitters and then relying on his elite stuff to strike out inferior hitters with runners on base. And so apparently some of that was by design, that they didn't want him going after the good players when he could easily strike out the guy behind him. So, which is, I thought, was interesting, at least that maybe, and I don't know if that's like Scott Boras putting that information out there, but I would like to think that maybe that's true, and that maybe we won't see quite as many walks this year as we did in the past.
Well, that's a bit of an old school approach, right? Yeah. Like when you would pitch around a guy, right? We heard that term all the time. You would pitch around a guy so that you wouldn't let those particular guys beat you, because then you knew that you could go strike out the next guy. And Blake Snell can do that. Right. He's the kind of guy that can get himself. And that's why the walks don't matter as much, because he can get himself out of his own jams. The downside with him, though, is that he just throws a lot of pitches. Right. He throws a lot of pitches. And that's why he doesn't go deep into games. Like when you compare the number of innings that he completed to Logan Webb, it's night and day. Right. Like these are two very, very different pitchers. And so it can put a little bit of damage or a little bit of a hit on your bullpen. But what I expect they're probably going to do is they're probably going to have Snell go into the fifth slot and pitch in front of Webb. Right? I mean, and that makes sense just because of where he is, right? Because he's not going to be ready for opening day. I mean, they might put him on the opening day roster, but he's not going to start on day two.
Yeah, I don't know. He pitched 5+ innings in his simulated game this weekend. So
right, against JUCO players. Right. Yeah, no, he's totally ready. Yeah. Yeah. Threw 5 innings against Las Positas Community College team. Yeah. No offense. I don't even know if they have a baseball team.
I don't either. But I do want to push back a little bit on this innings pitch thing, because you're right. We have been saying this whole time that, you know, he doesn't go in deep into games, that he's a liability in that respect. He pitched 180 innings last year, which would have placed him second on the Giants in innings pitched.
No. You're not just going to slide that in and act like stepdad wasn't around. Okay. You're not going to just slide in, oh, he would have been second in innings on the Giants. Let's just all forget about Gabe Kapler being our stepdad. Like, dude, stepdad was here. Right?
All right.
Like, nobody was allowed to pitch a lot of innings.
Well, especially as they were going to bullpen games every other day towards the end there. But I think this is one of those signings that, you know, will is a clear indication that those days are gone. And also that the Giants have the weapons in the bullpen and all that to be able to accommodate that. They also have Logan Webb. And so Logan Webb allows you to do a lot more allows the other guys to pitch a lot fewer innings when every fifth day the bullpen doesn't have to get taxed. And so, you know, signing someone like Blake Snell, I think, is a good complement to someone like Logan Webb, because Logan Webb for sure has shown that he's going to go, you know, 7, you know, every game.
Right. So you said he pitched 180 innings last year.
Yes.
Logan Webb pitched 216.
Yeah, he led the majors. Yeah.
Well, okay. So Burns pitched 193 and was 10th in the majors. Unfortunately, Baseball Reference will only show me the top 10 unless I pay for their service, which, by the way, Baseball Reference, my credit card expired and now I can't renew it on your website. So you don't want my money, I guess? Just fix it. I mean, I'm not really that worried about it. I only check it every couple months, but fix it. Anyway, so yes, I mean, I guess you're right. He's not. I mean, well, the one thing is that he didn't get hurt, right? He was available the entire season, and so that's a huge plus. And then he did pitch like enough to qualify for wins, right? So it wasn't like he was going out in the third inning or the fourth inning. He was making it into the fifth or sixth inning. I mean, he was finishing the fifth inning and making it into the sixth inning. Consistently. So, and you're right. I mean, compared to last year's rotation, that was more than good enough, right? More than good enough. And we know that the Giants bullpen is going to look very similar. At least the back five are going to look very similar to last year. So adding Blake Snell to this particular bullpen is just a really good combination. Like I think the Giants can weather his style of play very, very well. I also like it because he's so different from Logan Webb, right? Like he's a, you know, Logan Webb can strike guys out for sure, but
Logan Webb is really a ground ball pitcher, keeping the ball at the bottom of the strike zone. Blake Snell lives at the top of the strike zone. I mean,
right.
He goes after guys.
Right. And so you can have the two of them, you know, going back to back and giving a single team or single lineup just very, very different looks. And then you throw in Harrison, you know, and that's a really interesting three set mix that you know, there's going to be a lot of teams out there that have to face those three guys back to back to back. And that's a tough, tough three starting pitchers to go against.
Yeah. That's just to begin the season, Ben, right? You've got, so our rotation now, as it stands, is Webb, Snell, Harrison, Hicks, and Wynn, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
This means Mason Black is back in the minors for his...
And we don't have to make a roster, we don't have to make a 40-man spot for him, but we do have to make one for Snell.
For Snell, yeah. Yeah. So, and then by late April, then our rotation now looks like Webb, Snell, Harrison, Cobb, and Hicks. And then by mid-July, assuming everyone's healthy, you've got a rotation of Webb, Snell, Robbie Ray, Kyle Harrison, and Alex Cobb. That's a pretty nasty five there.
I like this one a lot. I cringed a little bit because I know the baseball gods, they do it every year. Like, what do I always say, Matthew? Like, during the regular season, we always go like, oh, man, the roster crunch, the roster crunch. And then the roster crunch never comes. And why is that?
Because then someone gets hurt.
Yeah. So I hope this rotation comes. But here's the good news. We may not need this rotation. Because suddenly now, yeah, like the depth looks really, now you have five good options and you're kind of like, I don't have room for all my options. I'm sorry, you have six good options and you don't have room for everybody. And that's a good problem to have.
Right.
That looks absolutely dominating. Yes. When Cobb is your number five, that's a pretty good rotation.
Yeah, so that's going to be really exciting. I think that we haven't had a reason to be this excited in a while. And I think the offense is still unproven, but the rotation now looks really strong and has the potential to look even better by the middle of the year. And so I'm excited. I think this was a great move, and it's something that they, you know, we thought they needed to do. And I think we need to tip our hats to Farhan for not blinking, you know, for letting this play out the way it did, because I think the Giants won on this and Scott Boras certainly lost.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think Boras definitely lost here. He misread the market. One thing that we haven't really talked on the show, and I don't think we need to go super deep into it, but in case you weren't aware, listener, one of the possible reasons that the market has been so weird this offseason is because about half of the Major League Baseball teams' TV deals are in limbo and could possibly be exploding. For example, you know, the Padres and the Diamondbacks both lost their deals mid-year last year when the company that was running that had them declared bankruptcy and then just didn't pay the fees for the Padres and the Diamondbacks, which meant they lost those rights. And that was a tactical financial decision that company made while they're in a reorganizing bankruptcy. So what that does, though, is it means all of the other teams' contracts are up in the air. Like, every contract now is renegotiable, and it means that all this money that they thought they were going to get is now not certain. And so that may have had a huge impact on how much money these teams were willing to spend. And so I think that really changed the market. But that was foreseeable a year ago. So Boras really just missed that, like just didn't think that was going to be an issue. And maybe the teams are like overplaying that, but whatever. He misread the market. And while I feel bad for guys like J.D. Davis who got caught up in all of this, I don't feel bad for Scott Boras at all.
Not at all.
But I am happy to have Blake Snell. And that's true and real. I don't have to fake it anymore. Or pretend. I mean, I do think the Giants do have a good pipeline of young pitching. And I do not want to see them all blocked, but this is a contract that doesn't really block them. And as we said, guys will get hurt. And so it is very likely that we will see some of these younger guys get their opportunities to make an impact. Just not on opening day, you know? And I think that's pretty good. Yeah. And I'm excited too, man. I think this is, I don't know that there's anything more that the Giants fans can ask for this lineup, for this roster. Yeah. And I do think it is a little bit of one of the signs of, like, you know, as much as everybody wanted to bash on Farhan, like at the end of the day, he changed the approach, the philosophy of the team, went out, got big names, names that we can cheer for. They're still not long-term guys. So I don't know that I would go out and buy a Snell jersey.
I'm buying a Snell jersey.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm a Schnellscherzi. The see-through ones. The see-through ones that are shiny, where the top gray is a different color than the pants gray. Yeah. Yeah. Where the Schnell is written so small you can barely read it. You getting one of those? You know, Matthew, they're going to charge $300 for that, right? You know that, right? Like, it costs $1.80 to make, and they're going to charge you $300 for it. But no, I think this is a very, very good team. And now they just got to do it.
Yeah, well, we'll dig into, before our opening day podcast, we'll dig into kind of, I think, the lineup and what that looks like and all that. But I certainly think they've erased all question marks in the starting rotation that we had for most of the offseason with this signing. And especially as we look forward to Cobb and Ray coming back, I think this rotation is on the verge of being elite. You said that Snell would be the fifth starter, which would be unfortunate because that means he would miss pitching against the Padres in the opening series of the season.
I don't want to see him get torn to shreds by the Padres. What the heck? Why would you want that?
So he would start game one against the Dodgers at home. He would start the home opener. No, we're still on the road then. We would start the Dodgers against
the Dodgers. The Giants, Matthew. Home opener is on the second Thursday of the season.
Actually, the Friday.
Oh, it's Friday. Sorry. Yeah. Second Friday of the season. The only reason I say that is because I don't believe that he's ready. Like, you can't go be practicing on your own and pitching to a JUCO team and be getting the same kind of experience that everybody else has. Are you legitimately buying into that, Matthew? Do you think Blake Snell is Major League Baseball ready? You think he could pitch on opening day?
No. Well, he's not going to pitch on opening day.
Or 2 days after that?
Well, you know, I mean, what's the difference between 2 days and 3 days? I mean, or 4 days. I just, you know, he's ready. Throw him out there. I don't think the difference between day two and day four are all that big of a difference.
I mean, I'm not sure he should pitch on day four, quite frankly. Like, I think the guy needs a couple of weeks of spring training at the very least, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we will. Yeah. But I think they would really like him because I don't think they want to add somebody to the 40 man that doesn't need to be like me.
No, but they could start like a Dalton Jeffries, or they could do a bullpen game. You know, as much as Giants fans would lose their, that's what I want, Matthew. I want them to do one bullpen game and have Snell not start.
Yeah, Ryan Walker pitching against the Dodgers, and
just to watch Giants Nations lose its mind on Twitter, just for that reason.
Fire Bomo!
No, he's going to pitch in the first. Yeah, I mean, maybe he will.
I guess we'll find out.
Well, if he gets torn to shreds by the Padres, Ben told you so.
So how's that Negroni coming along?
It's not good, dude.
I'm about ready to wrap this emergency pod episode up, and you're only halfway done with your cocktail.
So you're saying I got to chug it?
I'm saying. But maybe we could talk briefly about the other news that hit today. That Rennell Brooks Moon, her contract was not re-upped as our public address announcer. And as someone who has been there since the beginning of Oracle Park.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
It's quite jarring that all of a sudden that she wouldn't have her contract renewed. And we don't have a lot of time to spend on that, but I got to say, just for the record, that blows, man. Like, I don't understand, like, are we trying to save a few bucks here? Are we trying, like, what is the point of canning an icon, someone that the fans love? I don't know. Maybe they needed the extra dollars for Blake Snell. I don't know.
That's what I'm going with, Matthew. They sacrificed Rennell to get Blake Snell. And, you know, because that's how committed they are to winning. No, this is another ham-fisted, just ridiculous move that, you know, that they can't see the forest for the trees. And also, though, here's the bottom line, Matthew, I don't think they care. I think they'll hear the blowback, and I think they'll just be like, eh, whatever. I don't care.
Well, yeah, and I mean, so, they probably don't.
I mean, but here's the good news. They named the announcer's booth after her.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's then it's all okay. I mean, we named cocktails after her. And folks, I put those out on Twitter today. We back on episode 50, 150 episodes ago, Ben and I made our own homages to Rennell. And there's a Rennell mango mint margarita, and there's a late morning Rennell cocktails out there for you to try. So if you want to pour one back for good old Rennell, there's a couple cocktails out there for you. The margarita was specifically requested by Rennell. Like, she said that she really liked mango margaritas, and so I created a recipe just for her.
Wow.
So go ahead and look at that, and we'll pour one back for Rennell because she will be missed. All right, Ben. Well, folks, looking ahead, remember that we have our final episode of Happy Hour coming up on Thursday. So Ben has just finished his Negroni, but he's going to have a sweet cocktail on Thursday to finish up his month of sweetness.
That's right.
As we round out, as we say goodbye to Happy Hour on our channel, and again send it off to its yet to be determined name that will live on by itself. So we will be doing that shortly, and then look forward to two episodes a week of baseball talk, starting with opening day. So Ben, it's been good chatting with you. I will talk with you again on Thursday. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
How you doing on that Negroni?
It's empty. It's gone. I mean, it's booze. The booze worked. Like, I'm getting buzzed, but I'm not happy about it. It's so nasty.
I was just going to say, you look forlorn. You look,
I'm grumpy. I'm grumpy.
That's what it is. You look grumpy.
It made me grumpy. And I'm a happy drunk.